No, you are not crazy. It is a lot harder to be a dentist today than it used to be. It used to be that as a dentist, once you graduated from school, you could rent a building, put your name on the door, and you would have patients. Dentistry used to be so much less complicated, where you would provide a service to a patient and they would pay you for that service. But today it's become so much more complicated and so much more difficult. Dentists are working harder and harder and harder, and yet their incomes continue to go down and down and down. And the entire system has changed, and it's changed dramatically. So what changed, and why is dentistry so much more difficult today, and is there anything we can do about it? So to understand how dentistry has changed, we're going to have to start by looking at the medical field. In the 1960s, medicine underwent a massive transformation. Physicians started forming groups to pool their resources together, share costs, and improve efficiency. Patients were seeing better outcomes, but not only that, but physicians were seeing all sorts of benefits from being in one of these group practices. Before these group practices, if you were a doctor and you needed an x-ray, you would have to send the patients off to a hospital to get that x-ray. But with the group practice model, you might already be seeing the patient at the hospital. They just walk down the hallway, get their x-ray right away. Because this model was not only better for patients, but also for doctors, it has become the dominant model of medicine today. In the early 1990s, a group of entrepreneurs were looking at the medical industry and how it has changed, and they started asking the question, how could we do this but for dentistry? Could we take this successful corporate model that has worked so well in the medical industry and apply it to dental offices? So this was the origin story of companies like Pacific Dental Services, Heartland Dental, and Aspen Dental. Collectively, these companies would become known as Dental Service Organizations, or DSOs, for which they're called today. The problem is that dentistry is not medicine. In medicine, group practices thrive on collaboration between specialties, pediatricians, cardiologists, surgeons. They are all working together to treat complex cases. But in dentistry, by contrast, while there are some specialists like oral surgeons and orthodontists that do very specialized procedures, the vast majority of dental work is done by a single general dentist. Whereas the medical groups were able to pool together a bunch of different providers and share resources under one roof, the dental service organizations simply ran a dental practice exactly like a dentist would have been able to run the dental practice. They didn't bring anything to the table to make these practices better in any way. The DSOs promised higher patient volume, administrative support, and a steady income for the dentist, but the reality was actually quite different. Unlike in the medical model, where physicians who work at group practices often make significantly more than those who are in private practices, in the dental market, dentists who work at DSOs make significantly less than those that own their own practice. Dentists who work at dental service organizations either make less money or have to see substantially more patients in order to make the same amount of money. Dentists start to realize that if they go and own their own practice, they're going to be able to make substantially more money while working fewer hours. The result is that DSOs are now run by a continually revolving source of inexperienced dentists who have just graduated from school. Because as soon as they get experience and realize what they're doing and realize how much money they can make when they're an owner, they decide to go and buy a dental practice rather than working for a DSO. Unlike medicine, where group practices improved the experience for the patient, the dental group model has made things worse for both the dentist and for patients. So if that wasn't bad enough, up until the 1970s, patients typically paid for dental care out of pocket. Fees were straightforward and dentists would set their own rates. But then, I bet you can guess what happened. Dental insurance happened. At first, it seemed like a win because patients could afford to do more treatment and dentists had a steady stream of insured patients. But over time, the insurance companies began gaining more and more control over the dental industry, and they began dictating the fees and the reimbursement rates. So now today, dentists have to navigate a complex system of insurance billing systems, and oftentimes the reimbursement rates don't even cover the true cost of care. Over the past two decades, dental insurance premiums in the United States have increased at a rate significantly below the overall inflation rate. In 2002 alone, the National Association of Dental Plans reported that the average dental insurance premium arose by approximately 2%. I don't know if you remember what it was like in 2002, but the general inflation rate was 8.3%. Inflation went up by more than 8%, yet insurance premiums only went up by 2%. Do you see the problem here? Literally everyone from the insurance companies to the corporate dental offices are trying to get a cut of the dentist's production. And don't forget that just to become a dentist has to take out an enormous amount of debt in student loans. In the 1960s, dentists would graduate with basically nothing in student loans. By 2000, the average dental school graduate had $105,000 in debt, which was 63% of the average annual income for a dentist at the time. But today, that number has jumped on average to $295,000 in order to become a dentist, which is 140% of the average dentist expected income per year. We went from 10 to 15% to 63% to 140%. Dental school is more expensive than ever, but dentists are making less money than ever. Just in the past 20 years, when you take inflation into account, the average dentist income has decreased by over 30%. So student loans have more than doubled, but income has gone down by 30%. Something is not right here. New dentists are entering into a market where they're trapped in a cycle of high debt and lower earning potential, making it harder and harder every year to start their career as a dentist. This graph here shows the number of dentists by age in the United States. Notice how in 2001, there were more middle-aged and older dentists than there were younger dentists, shown by how this red line is trending upward. But now look at how this line moves over the next 25 years. Look at how this trend line has completely changed directions. Today, there are more and more younger dentists graduating from dental school than ever before, and this is creating a marketplace that is exceedingly more competitive than it was in the past. In many places, especially big cities, the market for dentists has become oversaturated, which is leading to fierce competition. The DSOs have taken notice of this, and they have exploited the opportunity. Just a few years ago, it was standard that associate dentists would keep 35% of their adjusted production. But today, the DSOs are taking advantage of this oversupply of young, inexperienced dentists, and they are every year lowering the amount that they are willing to pay. I cannot believe when I see dentists being offered 27, 26, 25% of collections for their pay. Not only is the percentage lower than it used to be, but now these companies are trying to pay off collections, which means that the dentist has to wait until the insurance company has sent the checks, which sometimes can take months before they're even paid. And sometimes the insurance companies send less than you expect, and sometimes certain patients don't pay. So collections are always less than adjusted production. In the past, that difference between production and collections was the responsibility of the owner of the business, the DSO. It was just a cost of doing business that they would have to cover. But now they're not even covering that. They're trying to pass that cost along to the associate dentist. The whole reason that these DSOs were supposed to be so amazing for the dentist was that they were going to come in and take care of all the risk and manage all of the collections and billing and all the insurance stuff. But now they're trying to pass that cost along to the associate dentist who's already making less money because of the reduced income that's coming from insurance companies. I can completely understand if you want to be an employee because you don't want to have to deal with the risks of being the owner of your own business. But a lot of these new dentists, they're taking on a lot of those same risks, and they're not even getting the full pay of being the owner. And if those four reasons are not bad enough, that brings us to the fifth change that is happening in dentistry. And this, for me personally, is my least favorite out of all of these changes. In a world where social media is creating unrealistic expectations and DSOs are advertising and making promises that they themselves are not able to keep, that they're expecting these new dentists to keep, patients are expecting faster service, luxury experience, more complicated and difficult treatments, and they expect it all to be 100% pain-free. And guess what? They expect that they're not going to be paying anything for it because they have dental insurance through their work. The patients are coming in and they're just not treating dentists with the type of respect that they did in the past. They're less likely to accept your treatment plans. They're more likely to leave negative reviews, and they're more likely to go shop around for new dentists if you are not able to meet their unrealistic expectations. All right, so now real talk. what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit around and complain and whine about how you wish you lived in the 1970s? Because like, for real, if you had the option to be transported back to the 1970s, would you really do it? Remember, they didn't have Netflix. They didn't have iPhones. They didn't have the internet. A lot of places didn't have air conditioning. We're not going back. We're here now. So what can you do about it? First off, the answer is probably not starting your own dental practice. In a world of DSOs and insurance plans, it's more and more competitive than ever to start a dental practice. And I hate to say it, but I have seen a lot of dentists try it and fail. You might be successful, you might, but is it worth the risk? So what's your other option? Working as an associate dentist? So that's not a great option either. So that leaves us with the final option. This is what I did, and I have helped a bunch of dentists to do the same thing. My income more than doubled. It went from $200,000 per year to over $400,000 per year. And this was while seeing fewer patients. I went from working 5 days a week to working 3 days a week. This method is going to cost you $0 out of pocket. You can find a bank that's willing to finance 120%. That means not only do you not need to have a down payment, but the bank will loan you more than you need, literally giving you extra money. The way to be successful today as a dentist, I'm not talking about in 1960 or in 2000, I'm talking about today, is to find a dentist with an established, successful practice that wants to retire and buy their practice. By buying a practice, you fast track your way into owning a business with a loyal patient base. If you buy the right practice, you can go from having zero patients and no income to a full schedule of patients on your first day of ownership. Patients will treat you differently when they know you're the boss. They're more likely to accept your treatment plans and they're more likely to show you respect. The employees at the practice are also likely to treat you with a lot more respect when you are their employer. They know that in order to get paid, they have to listen to what you say. As an owner, you have full control over your schedule and how you want to do things. No one else can tell you how to run your practice. The bottom line is that it is harder than ever to be a dentist, but if you are willing to figure it out, there has never been a better time to be a dentist.